The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Schooling and childcare are issues I think we're going to be talking about a lot in the months to come. Major issues for so many parents, particularly as the lockdown lifts and people have to go back to work. What can be done if the schools aren't back, or if they go back in a different way? And what's going to happen over the summer months, when perhaps a lot of parents as well were looking to various summer camps and Gaeltacht and other activities to keep their children occupied? Tanya Ward is what is first from the Children's Rights Alliance. Tanya, I've been interested very much in what you've been saying about the denial of schooling, going back now to the middle of March, and now suggestions that primary and secondary schools will only go back on a phased basis from September. How much difficulty do you think could that cause to the development for children?
So I think it's going to affect children in different ways. I mean, if you ask a child what's most important to them about going to school, and they often say it's friends and play. So it's very difficult for a lot of them. I have two children myself, and my daughter keeps on asking me about when she's going back, and I keep telling her, no, it won't be for a while, yes, and she keeps on saying, I hate COVID-19. But that's actually impacting a lot of children. If you think about it, it's going to be 6 months that children will be out of school. I'm also thinking about, you know, very vulnerable children where school was sanctuary for them. A local principal talked to me about how when she has very small children and junior infants, they arrive in September. And, you know, they'd arrive very stressed. Growing up in households where the parents are struggling, those children would have difficulties even sitting in a chair and socialising with other children. And they spend the first 3-4 months trying to create a safe space for those children. And eventually by Christmas, you see a change in them. But she said often what happens around the Christmas time is that because the children are exposed to lots of drinking, alcohol at home, late nights, maybe violence, they arrive back in January in the same state they were when they started junior infants. And I suppose when I think about the COVID-19 period, that 6 months, what's happening for those children, particularly when you know that consumption of alcohol has increased by 25%. By people with children. And then at the other end, you know, you've got two-parent households where they both have good jobs, and they are really struggling trying to continue the child's education at home. And some parents are getting very stressed, and that's not a good educational environment for a child.
Stella O'Malley is with us as well. Indeed, Stella, this could apply to children of all ages, couldn't it, from junior infants up to leaving cert?
I agree with everything Tanya said there, because I think I have a lot of teenage clients, and you know, at the start it was a novelty and it was kind of interesting, and you know, we had time in bed and stuff, and it's really worn people down by now. And some of the teenagers, they're not learning anything, they're completely ground down by it and really feeling very kind of just down. I think especially people who thrive on people like extroverts, they're particularly just down, and they're feeling, and often they'll act out by just causing fights in their family and things like that, and they don't even know they're doing it. It's they're bored and they need their friends and they need their peers. This lockdown has been very good for our physical health, and it was necessary, but there's no getting away from the fact it's been very bad for a lot of people's mental health. It's been good for some, but it's been very bad for others, and we really need to start balancing the two, because there's no point in having one without the other.
What about the possibility that for many children it was possible to deal with a situation where they were told you've been schooled at home, but now that the secondary schools are finished, the primary schools have about a month and a bit to go yet, but when we get out of that and get into the summer holiday period and the sun is shining like it is today and the kids want to get out and about, how much more difficult might it actually get for parents, do you think, Stella?
Going to get really difficult, because as you said earlier, that there won't be the summer camps and there won't be the activities and won't be the holidays. My own girl was going to go to the Gaeltacht, and there are all these kind of disappointments, and the family holiday probably won't happen. So all the kind of ideas that we would normally have, it'll be kind of, let's have another picnic in the park, which is fine when they're seven, but it's not really fine when they're much older than that, and definitely not fine for the teenagers. I foresee a lot of problems, and I can't really see a way out of it unless we all become a lot more zen and a lot more connected with our local community, and some lovely things might come of that. But I fear that other people will just become very bored, very in on themselves, go on their social media and get very kind of antsy without really knowing why they're feeling so down on themselves.
Yeah, Tanya, how important has it become for many families and for children that at least some of the summer might have been taken up with things like a holiday? And it has become more case that more and more families are getting into it, and not everybody can afford it, and I understand that. But summer camps, be it the cool camps for the GAA, for various sports, or for arts and crafts camps, or cooking camps that kids did, or going away to the Gaeltacht, became a very important part of the development of these children.
That's right. I mean, for the very vulnerable children, you know, making sure that there were summer camps and sports camps, you know, ensured that those children were going to be fed and someone was going to look after them. If you look at all children, yet they were all getting to develop from these different activities. And actually, it's good for children to develop in different types of settings other than in school settings. They get to develop different types of skills, and they develop different groups of friends, and they learn different things about themselves. I mean, I think looking forward, I mean, the government has made some really tough decisions, and they've had to avert so far, you know, a national disaster. But at this stage, I think we need to look at, well, what can we put and organise for young people over the summer months? I've been talking to some youth groups, and they are coming up with suggestions. Look, we could have 8 young people together with 2 youth workers in an outdoor setting, and we'd be able to social distance. They're the kinds of ideas I think we need to think about. And then into the early year settings, you know, what's coming up from other countries in Europe, including in the UK, they ran some crashes in hospitals, and they found it didn't result in an increase or a spike or a cluster of COVID-19 cases. So there's something there, I think, to be explored. But we should also be thinking bigger. You know, maybe the schools need to come back earlier in the summer. We need to think about this is going on probably for the next year or two until a vaccine is secured. There's going to be a generation of children affected by COVID-19. And maybe that means, you know, when they come back, maybe they'll only have a half day in school. Maybe we're going to add another year to their education. Maybe we need to abolish the Leaving Cert altogether and introduce, we've been talking about Leaving Cert reform for many years now. Maybe this is the time to do it.
I'll come back to you on that in a second, Tanya. Stella, I'll get a last word from you because I know you have to be with a client. What's your last view on what we can do in relation to helping children who have been dealt a very harsh hand by COVID-19?
I think we have to be creative and kind of bond with them as much as possible by getting outside. I think more than anything, getting outside and getting them outside and finding activities, whether it's fishing or whether it's, you know, bird watching. I know people would be rolling their eyes. They don't have an awful lot of choices, so they're going to have to go back to the 1950s and think, what did children do and how did they kind of get along when they were having a solitary rural childhood, because that is really what an awful lot of children are facing this summer. And there could be something lovely in that. You know, there could be kids, I've seen kids going out and they were sketching. There were 2 kids and they were sketching in my local park. And I thought, well, that's kind of sweet. And they seem to be keeping their distance and they were both kind of chatting. So it's going to have to be very different, and we're going to have to be looking for kind of new solutions. I particularly like the idea of youth clubs meeting on an outside setting. Any sort of meeting outside does seem to get around an awful lot of the issues around COVID spreading. And maybe that's the way forward.
Stella O'Malley, thank you for joining us. Tanya Ward, I'm going to go back to you to finish out. A lot of European, continental European countries are reopening their schools at present. Now, they are doing so on a phased basis, but there almost seems to have been an assumption made already in this country that September, which is still some many months away from us, when the schools, primary and secondary, go back, that is going to have to be done very much on a phased basis, that there's not enough room in the schools for social distancing. The classes might perhaps only come in 2 days a week or come in for a few hours each day, go home, another group comes in, then they have to do stuff on the internet, assuming they have internet access, assuming it doesn't take them hours to travel to and from school. Would you be hopeful that there could be ways perhaps to encourage the authorities to maybe allow for a much more relaxed approach to allowing the schools back in September?
Well, I think that what we'll have to do, and this is really down to the health experts as well, I mean, they need to look at what the evidence, and the evidence in other countries, I mean, they've come back sooner in terms of schools, but many of those countries had their peaks before we did. And Denmark is a really good example, because when they opened the schools, what they found was there was a slight spike and then the numbers go down. But yeah, the numbers went down because they are practicing the social distancing rules. So they've been doing classes outdoors. Of course, the children, young people love it. They love being taught outdoors. They have been introducing one-way systems in the corridors, so to reduce the amount of contact that you might have with people. They're keeping the parents out of the school because they're the vectors of infection. And they've been giving children double desks. But I think there's a bigger thing we need to ask ourselves, that if we are only giving children 3 or 4 hours a day or less in a school setting, we need to think about the whole child and how they're going to keep up with the curriculum. And that might mean we need to add a year for them so they don't fall behind, because there's real concern that the children and young people who are going through COVID-19, who've had this interruption in their education, they'll be left behind. They'll disengage with education. They might leave school without qualifications. And you know what that means. In terms of the long term, it means they'll earn less, they'll have poorer health, they'll have poorer housing. But I have to say, there's been some extraordinary creative work being done by schools and by local services as well. Real ingenuity by teachers and by educationalists. I think we need to give them the space to run programmes in different ways so children don't get disengaged and don't fall behind.
Some very interesting thoughts there. Tanya Ward, Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance, also Chair of the National Advisory Council for Children and Young People. Thank you very much for being with us. And we heard before Tanya, we heard Stella O'Malley, the psychotherapist and author.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.